Mark Spector from Sportsnet. Spec, happy Friday. How are you, pal?
Pretty good. Will, what's going on down there?
Well, I was going to, I don't know, that's kind of a nice way to kick things off. It's polar opposites, I would suggest, in Alberta. A lot of excitement around the Flames, and I know that the Oilers did have some excitement, but that was kind of a pin in the balloon, a balloon effect when the Sakara injury was announced. What's the mood like right now in Oiler country as we're a couple of weeks away from the preseason?
You know, I think that people here are skeptical, right? People here are, you know, the overriding question is, and the lineup hasn't changed much, is it the 103-point Oilers from 2 years ago that's the real team? Or is it the 78-point team from last year that's the real team? And obviously the answer is going to lie somewhere in the middle, I would think. But where is that middle? Is that middle eighth place? Is that middle contending for the Pacific? You know, is that middle good enough to beat a Calgary team that's you know, made some clear and evident changes to their, right from the coaching staff all the way down to the, through the lineup? Edmonton didn't make a lot of changes, right? They're in a different situation. They're capped out, quite frankly. And the Sekar injury came so late that, you know, all the transactions around the league were done. So they're in a different spot up here, and the people are looking at the team and kind of wonder what they're going to get, my friend.
Is it too simple to say that a lot of that relies on, you know, what Cam Talbot is going to show up this season?
Well, it starts with Cam Talbot. I mean, look at Calgary. Right? Good team. Mike Smith gets hurt. Not such a good team anymore.
And the same will be said this year. I mean, if Mike Smith doesn't play well, it doesn't matter what changes they made. They're still going to struggle.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter what happens. If Mike Smith isn't good, the Flames aren't going to be as good as you would hope. And the same goes for every team in the league. There's only about five or six teams that really have a backup that could carry them through a prolonged stretch of poor player injury by their starter. So, yeah, Cam Talbot's got to be better. Cam Talbot is a sort of a microcosm, though, for a lot of the players on this team. I'm going to put Lucic, we can talk about him, too, in this thing. Cam Talbot's been a 918, 919 save percentage guy his whole career, right, ever since he showed up. Mm-hmm. Last year, he goes down to like 908. So most of the time, we would look at players, particularly older, you know, guys that have been around the league for a while, and say they should revert to the mean. There's no reason that Cam Talbot shouldn't get back up to what his career average is of around 918, 919. That's good enough to give you a chance to win all the time. You know, Milan Lucic, same guy, right? He's been a 50-point guy with a 13-point-something shooting percentage his entire career, except for last year. You know, the Oilers have a bunch of those guys that you guys remember the Flames that beat Vancouver in the playoffs, that, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
They all had career years. I think we coined the term unsustainable, did we not, that summer?
Yep.
And what'd they do next year? They fell off the edge of the earth. None of those guys did what they did the year before. And the Oilers are going through that now. They're bouncing back off it. And I would suspect some reversion to the mean. Again, the question becomes, does that reversion get you to a playoff spot or not? I guess we're going to find out.
Mark Spector of Sportsnet is our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And you mentioned it, Mark. You sat down with Milan Lucic. He's been in trade rumors almost all summer long. He has not gone anywhere. He's got 5 years left on his deal. What's the Oilers number 17's mood heading into this season?
Yeah, he's got to, you know, get back to where he's been. You know, Milan Lucic, how would I say, Milan Lucic was on pace for, actually, this is, most people would forget this, and I don't blame them. At Christmas last year, he was on pace for like 58 points. He was having a real good year. And then the bottom fell out. You know, the team wasn't any good around him, and he went one goal in his last 46 games. And, you know, his shooting percentage was like 6.8 or something last year. Again, he's a career 13-something guy. And it just all went bad, right? All went bad. And the difference, you know this, the difference with Lucic is he's 6 foot three and or 6 foot whatever and 235 pounds, mm-hmm, in fabulous shape. I saw him yesterday. He's in great shape. But that's just how big Lucic is. And in a younger, smaller league full of water bugs, you know, it's easy to look at Lucic and say, that guy's never going to revert. He's never going to get back. He's yesterday's player. Big men like him can't play anymore. And that's what, you know, some people would believe that of Lucic. He's got to prove to people that, you know, like the Washington Capitals showed us last year in the playoffs, right? Big and good still wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big and good still won. There's, you know, you say what you want about Tom Wilson. A lot of people didn't like his game. A lot of people don't like the guy. But he was big, and he was good, and he was effective. So Lucic needs to show that he can represent the big boys and still produce in this league.
Whether it's watching you on Sportsnet or the conversations we've had in the media lounge at the Dome, I know it's been an up-and-down road for Jesse Puljujärvi in the NHL. Speck, what have you seen from him, and what are you expecting? What does he need to do to grow in the NHL this season?
Well, he's been, you know, it's kind of funny because in a town that's force-fed so many young players ice time that they haven't earned, Jesse Puljujärvi has not been the benefactor slash victim of that. You know, he hasn't got a bunch of free ice time. He hasn't got a bunch of free power play time, right? They've tried to bring him along relatively, you know, at a pace that he can handle. And I think that, frankly, they've done a decent job with that. One thing you got to remember about Jesse Puljujärvi is he just turned 20 years old in, like, May. You know, it seems like he's been around a while. He's a 20-year-old player. So I would say to you this, well, it's time for him to take a step. This is his third pro season in North America. It's time now to see something. You know, I think the guy in Colorado, Rantanen, you know, he kind of hung around a little bit too. Big, tall, Finnish winger. And he really took a huge step last year. I'm not sure Puljujärvi takes that big a step, but it's time to see something. You know, I'm not going to look at a 20-year-old player, Will. I mean, you guys got Sam Bennett down there. It's probably a good example of that. Some guys just take longer. And some guys never get there. Don't, you know, some guys never get there. I get it. But you will not catch me looking at a guy who is 20 years old and saying, if he doesn't do it now, it means he can't play. I won't say that about a guy when he's 20.
Yeah, and the best example in this city, the one that people go back to all the time, yes, of course, Sam Bennett, but the one that people go back to all the time is Michael Backlund, who, you know, finally figured it out, right? And
took a long time.
Yeah,
he figured it out at what, 26?
Yeah, I would say the last 2-3 years, he finally figured it out, and frustration was at an all-time high with Flames fans, and now they love him. So, yeah,
Not many guys stick with their team like Backlund did either.
Yep.
Most guys have to go somewhere else, you know? To figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to become the guy they are. Like, Michael Backlund was a first-round pick, correct?
He was, yeah.
A long time ago. You know, the guy that I think about in that situation is Andrew Cogliano. The Oilers picked him. And he saw himself as a first-line, second-line centerman, a point-producing player. And I'll tell you what, an old friend of mine here in Edmonton, Jim Matheson, Hall of Fame writer, I remember standing there when Jimmy said to Andrew Cogliano, he said, what if you were a checking center or winger and you kill penalties, kind of like Todd Marchant used to be? And Cogliano looked up at him like Matty had three heads, you know? Like, what are you saying? I am a first-line, second-line guy. I'm a top-six player. And where's Andrew Cogliano? He goes to Anaheim. They put him in the third, fourth line. He kills penalties. He's a veteran leader, valuable face-off winning guy. He's exactly what Matty said he should be. And he's found a home, but he didn't find that role in Edmonton, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, you're right. Sometimes it takes that change of scenery to finally hit your stride. And the other thing too, Speck, and you can relate this to any player, whether you're a high pick or a low pick, usually if you're in the NHL, you grew up your entire life as the best player on your team. You were playing in every situation. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and say, maybe I can't be a 20-goal scorer in the NHL. Maybe I have to find a way to be a fourth liner.
Hey, how true is that? You know, and when does that sun dawn on fill in the name? Sam Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Sam Bennett's not a top six player, right? But there's a ton of player there.
Right.
And maybe he has to, you know, I'm not saying that time has come yet, but it may come where they say, take all that skill and speed and what you've got and turn yourself into a different role. And you can play 1,000 games in the league. You know, remember, every one of these guys, including fighters, right? And we don't have fighters anymore, but even the fighters grew up as generally the best player on their team.
And most guys that are fighters are like, I never wanted to fight, but I realized it's the only way I could make it.
They figured it out. And I mean, that's that'll go down in history as maybe one of hockey's fatal flaws that we turn these good young players into guys who punched each other's heads in. But history is history. We can't change it. But you're right. All these guys were such good players that you know, even the sixth defenseman, man, you know, Brett Kulak, I'll bet you was the best player in his midget team, are certainly right up in the top. And now he's fighting to make that team in Calgary, and he knows what his new role is, and I'll bet you he'll play it well. I always kind of like Brett Kulak. I think there's a player there.
Just a few more with Mark Spector from Sportsnet. Oilers and Flames, by the way, the rookies will do battle in Calgary on Sunday, and then again Wednesday in Red Deer. And we'll finish off with some thoughts on the Oilers rookies, Mark. But first of all, just under $4 million in cash space. Of course, everyone at Edmonton, I'm sure, is talking about Darnell Nurse. What's your read on the situation? Where are you at with the RFA defenseman?
Well, I have a feeling there's something going on here. No one's, you know, certainly the agent Anton Fun and the players here, Darnell Nurse is skating with McDavid and a whole bunch of guys here in Edmonton. There's no acrimony. There's no, you know, there's no real deadlines or any of that stuff going on. I kind of have a feeling in the back of my mind that Peter Chiarelli, who lost again, he lost and Andre Sekera, what, like 2.5, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
At a time when all the transactions were finished, all the good free agents were signed, everything was done. I'm not sure that he might not be saying to the Nurse camp, look, can we just sit on this a while because I'm working on something? It's very rare to see a trade of any significance made in the National Hockey League at this time of year. I'll say that for sure. And I wouldn't, you know, my odds on Chiarelli finding a second pairing defenseman to replace Sekera, I'm not sure how great they are, but I suspect he's working on it because it's clearly a need in Edmonton. And that, to me, is a theory on why the Nurse signing, which should be fairly simple. It's a 2-year bridge deal. It's going to come in around between 3.1 and 3.5 somewhere. You know, that could, to me, seems to be the only plausible reason why this thing's taken so long.
We talked earlier about Cam Talbot and how key he is for the Oilers this year. And part of that, Mark, would be obviously trying to, you know, limit his workload a little bit. What do we know about Mikko Koskinen?
That he makes too much money.
That's all I know about him. $2.5 million backup goalie. He better be good. I'll tell you what. You know, Chiarelli's under fire here. I won't kid anybody, right? It's not a revelation. He's under fire here. And now you're looking for nickels and dimes to get Nurse deals done, and all of a sudden now you need a defenseman, you're capped right out, and you look at your situation in goal, you got a $2.5 million backup goalie who's played 4 NHL games like 8 years ago. Right? So Chiarelli's taking a gamble on this guy. They bring in this Mikko Koskinen from the KHL. The theory is that this guy is of the level that he will challenge Cam Talbot. Right, they're paying him like a guy that has a chance to take significant games and to perhaps be a goalie of the future here. I'm not going to say that he can or can't because I've never seen him play well. You know, and I will say the history of goalies coming over from the KHL who were good there is not strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not strong. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of guys that come over here. Big Anders Nilsson is about this prototype guy, same size as Koskinen. You know, he's at best a decent backup in Vancouver. And you could think of many others. I think Gustafsson, the monster, was over there. He wasn't very good.
Yep.
And there's others. So I'll tell you what, the odds of this Koskinen thing at 2.5 being a success, the odds are very slim.
Right.
If it works out the way Chiarelli wants, I'll tell you what, I'll take my hat off to him and I'll call him a genius. But right now, he needs a guy that outperforms almost every other guy that came out of the case.
I said we'd finish off with some rookies, so let's go there. Yamamoto and Bouchard are the two that jump out for the average fan. Are one or both on this team come October?
Well, they're light on the right side up here, so Yamamoto's got a good chance. The game comes towards a young, smaller player like Yamamoto, and he played 8 games for the Oilers last year, I think it was, 8 or 9, and showed that he was close a year ago. He wasn't ready, but showed that there was something there and that he was close. Look, the Oilers are like every team, the Flames, Oilers, Pittsburgh, Washington. The Oilers are looking for a Connor Sheary here. They're looking for a Jake Guentzel, right? They got huge ticket items in McDavid and Draisaitl. Good players. You know, there's no regrets there. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's a very good hockey player, will play on the first line with McDavid. And, you know, they need Lucic to rebound. But what they really need up here, Will, is to have some kids that get developed that maybe punch above their weight a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. They need, you look, who was Connor or who was Sid Crosby playing with during those two cups? You know, Brian Rust, right? Connor Sheary. If Jake Guentzel comes out of nowhere and was an absolute...
I was going to say, nobody knew who Jake Guentzel was 2 years ago.
No. So, you know, and you can say, Aspect, that's a prayer. It's not a prayer. Good teams develop guys like that. And they're not all, you know, like Matt Tkachuk's a high draft pick. He's supposed to be good. Mm-hmm. Connor McDavid, I mean, you're picking first overall. He damn well better be good. But what you need is you need some lower draft picks, second, third, fourth round guys, a guy later in the first round like Yamamoto. You need those guys to be productive and come in and help you win. If you get them, now you got a real hockey team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's even one in Calgary, Mangiapane, a sixth-round pick a couple of years ago.
You need him.
You know, absolutely. And that's so key, especially in this cap world. We know that those players that make less than $1 million are so valuable to any team, especially if you're wanting to compete and you don't have a lot of cap space. Last one for you, Spec. Who else? We mentioned Bouchard and Yamamoto. Who else are we watching when it comes to or the rookie camp?
Bouchard would be a kid defenseman out of London. Very good looking player. I don't think he should be ready yet, frankly. I'm still counting Puljujärvi in this group because he hasn't done anything yet. Who else do we have? They got a kid out of Vancouver named Tyler Benson, who's a really interesting cat because when he was a bantam, like they were talking exceptional player for this kid.
He was the number one pick in the WHL, was he not?
Yeah, he was really good. And then he lost like three seasons to injuries and the kind of injuries, like he had a cyst on his tailbone. He had these goofy injuries that weren't hockey related and he lost a bunch of time. And now he's healthy. He's turning pro this year. And nobody has a clue what they got in this guy now. You know, is he still the exceptional player? Is he just a decent player? No one's 100% sure, right? Yeah. But he's a very interesting cat that could play one day or maybe just fall flat. You'll never know. But, and after that, they've basically got, they're like, they got a couple. They got a kid named Marody, who they got out of Philly. He's an NCAA kid that no one really knew much about. They ended up landing this guy, Pat Marody. And you know what? Guys in the NHL say he's a really good player. So there's another guy like Mangiapane, you know. Mm-hmm. No one said his name twice when the Flames drafted this kid. And now all of a sudden you're at a camp and you go, you know what? There's a bit of a player here. And if he graduates into a real player, you know, here's the kid we're talking about. Here's the Jake Guentzel that takes you from being a pretty good team into a very good team.
Quickly, are you like everybody else in the hockey world surprised that Erik Karlsson's still in Ottawa?
A little. It's such a complicated trade to make, for one. You know, and I think Ottawa complicates it by trying to include Bobby Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they walk this line between they got a fan base that's not going to show up. It's going to be how do you trade your best player? What if the Flames traded, you know,
Matt Tkachuk.
Traded Johnny Hockey. Yeah. We're trading Johnny Hockey. How many people would cancel their season tickets tomorrow? You know, so think of Erik Karlsson. He's far and away the best player they have in Ottawa. It's hard for the Ottawa to pull off a trade and bring in a return that they can look their fans in the eye and say, keep buying tickets because we did right by you guys. Man, that's a tough deal to make. So, no, I'm not surprised. It's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen, and I don't think that the Ottawas will be able to satisfy the directive I just set out for them, but they're sure going to try, and good luck to them, man.
Well, we're getting closer, Spec. It's fun times, of course. The NFL started last night, which was a dud, but...
That was not fun times, Bill. That was not fun. I watched that whole game every snap. I'm still waiting for some action. Has it happened yet?
Oh, and the best part too is that it starts with a weather delay. Perfect. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Awful football.
Yeah. Not good.
I'll tell you what, the Labor Day game, both the one in Hamilton and in Calgary last week, were vastly superior displays of football.
Yes, they were. And Saturday is probably going to be the same story. Spec, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll let you go, and I'm sure we'll catch up very soon. Thanks, man.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Mark Spector from Sportsnet.